Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
Hey, it's Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions. Right now, I'm talking to an instrumental group. I don't get to talk to too many instrumental groups. Pretty cool. It is a two-piece project, I believe. It's Christopher Coleman and Will Andrews. Chris, should I call you Chris or Christopher?
I usually go by Chris.
Chris, and then Will. You go by Willie now?
That's my Zoom nickname.
Okay. Your Zoom
nickname. My multiple band nickname. So
nice. All right.
The 10 Miles Wide thing.
So yeah, you may recognize Will Andrews from 10 Miles Wide. He's been on the show a few times in the past. I believe this is the first time I've had you on the show, Chris?
No, I came on with Intisar.
That's right.
Couple years back, yeah.
That's right. Awesome, man. Well, welcome back. This is obviously a lot different than having you guys in the studio. We're doing things via Zoom.
Yeah, super long distance here.
Cool. So tell me, I guess, Chris, start off, where are you right now? Where in Seattle are you located in? It looks like you're in a pretty badass library / like practice space.
I'm actually in Atlanta right now.
Oh, you got the Braves hat. Okay.
Yeah. I moved here about a month ago.
Wow. Mid COVID move.
Yeah, we were supposed to move out months ago, but yeah, COVID pushed it back. And Will and I had just been talking. We've been kind of throwing around ideas. And when COVID hit, we were like, we should just make some music right now. This is like a great time to do something, get something out, and you know, just use the time that we had.
How are you liking down in Georgia?
I love it. I think it's an amazing town. It's surprising. I think people don't realize that it's really wooded here, and it's kind of reminiscent in certain ways of Seattle, at least parts of it are. And the weather is, you know, it's hot in the summer and whatnot, but it's not that bad in the fall. It's actually cooled down quite a bit, so it's tolerable.
If you don't mind me asking, what brought you to Atlanta?
Just wanted to pursue different things. I've been trying to get more into film music stuff, and there's just a lot more opportunities here than there are in Seattle.
Fair enough.
A change of scenery. I've lived in Seattle like my whole life and just want to experience a different place.
Right on, man. Well, congratulations.
Thanks, man.
With obviously with the advent of the internet and being able to work remotely as everyone is right now, you guys can collaborate on this project, right?
Totally. Yeah. I can record stuff here and send up tracks to Will, and we can kind of keep it going.
Do you guys have your own like your own setups as far as like your own rigs to like record professionally, like Pro Tools?
I just got into Pro Tools. That was one of the things I wanted to learn during COVID to, you know, up my game a little bit. So
yeah.
I got Pro Tools and a new computer so I can do basic editing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I can't like record drums in my house, but I have a buddy named Pat. We call his studio affectionately the Secret Studio.
Nice.
That's where we did most of the tracking. It's in Bothell, and like not a lot of people know about it, but it's got like a really great drum room. So, yeah, I think Chris can record all kinds of stuff at his house. He's got, you know, studio gear, and he can send it to me and I can do little tweaks and stuff and then take it to Pat's studio and do drum tracks. So we can be pretty mobile, which is cool. Or pretty remote, I guess you could say. So.
And you're still in Seattle, right, Will?
Yeah. Well, I live in Linwood, but
okay.
I do a lot of work out of Seattle.
But not in Atlanta.
No, I'm still here.
So you're speaking about drums. No one can see it because this is an audio interview, but behind you is a huge set of drums. What's the story? How many drums do you have behind you?
Shoot. Let me see. I haven't even counted yet. I got them yesterday. 20. I have 20 drums behind me, and the deal came with another snare drum.
Wow.
So it was just like a Craigslist deal that was too good to pass up.
Yeah.
I'm literally selling two kits tomorrow and another one later this week. And I might keep one for myself. Sorry, I got a call. I might keep a kit for myself or sell it and make more money. So money's tight, man. COVID, you gotta get your money where you can get it. And this deal was too good to pass up. So
some guy just said every size of Grand Star possible.
There's no 8s and there's no 11s and there's no 20-inch floor toms and there's no kick drums other than the 22 and 24 and there's no standard sizes, so it's all like power sizes. But it's everything from a 10 to a 18 tom minus a couple.
Was it just like liquidating a drum store or something?
No, a guy had been collecting these. He bought a Grand Star set like in 91 uh-huh. and kept it in like mint condition. It's like perfect.
Yeah.
And he wanted to do the crazy like Terry Bozzio thing and have like a million more drums to play. So we found a bunch of used kits and just like had them laying around. And the Craigslist ad said that there was two kits for sale. And I go there and there's like two gigantic kits and like a third kit that's like, oh yeah, there's this other Grand Star kit. Do you want that? I'm like, yeah. Are you kidding me? Are you sure? Like, is this cool? And they gave me all these like badass cymbal stands and cases and all this stuff for like not a lot of money. So
that's dope.
I got super lucked up. It's like a lifetime Craigslist deal. It's like incredible.
That's epic, man. I geek out when I come across a cool t-shirt at a thrift store. You scored crazy big time, man. That's awesome. Congratulations.
I got really lucky. So I'm pretty stoked. I took 4 trips in my Mazda 3.
Oh my god!
All the stuff from my house, but it was worth it. It took like 3 hours.
So we're here to talk about Night Palm, which is a collaborative effort between you two. Now it's across the country, collaborative project. You guys have released 2 songs so far: Doomsday and Dutch Courage. First off, before we go into the band and the project, how have you guys been during this time? It's a lot different time than I've had you guys in the studio. Chris, let's start with you. How are you holding up during COVID, during the pandemic? You know, we're 6-7 months into this. How are you staying sane? How are you staying, you know, busy?
Well, it's been pretty insane. I mean, with the move too, mm-hmm. on top of just the, you know, we like isolated and then we're trying to gather everything. Our kids couldn't go to school. We're trying to like move everything. And so it just was I'm going to look back on this era and it's just going to be something that's going to be remembered, I think, the rest of my life as being pretty insane. But I know it's that way for everyone. I've been trying to use it as a creative time. I know Will and I both have been trying to use it as time that we can create stuff and bring something positive, you know, into a kind of a rough era and whatnot. And it's kind of where I've been coming from.
Yeah. And how about you, Will?
It's crazy, man. It's so much going on in the world, along with the pandemic and the election and all that stuff. And it's just like, it's the need to be plugged in is there, you know, into all the news and politics and stuff like that. But I've really tried to, like I say, up my game and like got a new computer, got Pro Tools, got Adobe Premiere, can edit video now as well as audio. Doing the Night Palm record was like amazing just because that's when I think the COVID thing was still kind of at its sketchiest point where we didn't really know a lot about it. But we went in and decided to, you know, social distance and make some music while we could. And, you know, Chris and I had the desire to make a record together, just the two of us, for a while now. And we were finally able to realize that. So this extra free time from not working and stuff, it's just like it's been like a blessing for being creative. And I've done collaborative stuff with a few other artists that are, and that stuff's going to be coming out hopefully in the next couple months.
Yeah,
I did you know, music video, two music videos now with Walking Papers. One of them was released. The other one's coming out hopefully in November or something like that. And, you know, just been participating and all kinds of stuff. There's stuff that I haven't even really talked about yet.
Yeah.
That were, you know, things from the past that might resurface and stuff.
Cool.
So, it's been like a super creative period, and I like, it's definitely a silver lining in this whole crazy ordeal we're all dealing with, you know, having the extra time to explore creativity and really like collaborate with people, you know?
Well, I mean, that's, I guess, you know, you don't want to say like, oh yeah, it's a great time or something, because obviously that's kind of like callous to say for a lot of people. But for me personally, like I'm trying, like you're saying, like being creative, I'm trying to find ways to kind of, you know, channel my energy into, you know, doing my own personal projects. And, I actually spoke with a wrestler for Defy, wrestling last night for a new wrestling podcast, for Defy that I'm doing, Randy Myers. And Ravenous Randy, he spoke about how he's doing all these new, he has a bunch of new projects, he's doing stand-up comedy, and I think we both agreed, and I have also spoken with some musicians who agree with this, is that at the end of this, if we do it right, we'll all have some new kind of skills under on our tool belt at the end of this, because we kind of were just forced to, you know, channel some energy. And like I didn't have a home little podcast recording studio before this, and my friend lent me some gear. I set it all up, I figured it out myself, and you know, I'm working on figuring out some video editing, and it's you know, I probably wouldn't have had that time to figure that out or been forced to, but it's going to be a good thing in the end. So
yeah, I agree. I think it's always good to improve your skills and to make yourself open to learning new things to be able to get your ideas out there. You know, it's awesome. It's definitely the best part of this whole thing. Granted, a lot of people are sick and or worse. And, it is nice to be able to kind of, you know, have the time to express ourselves and, you know, pick up skills and stuff.
So, a question I'd like to ask you guys is, I know you guys are both not just musicians, but music fans and music lovers. If you're having a day where you can't escape and you're, you know, you're stuck in a negative feedback loop, you hear some bad news, which there is a lot of it, you know, maybe you watch a debate or two, and, you're in a bad mood. What's an album that you can go to, that can just clear your mind or bring you back to better times, or can just kind of, you know, level you? Is there an album that you can reach for that'll just, you know, bring you back to the world you want to be in?
I know for me, it's Brian Eno and The Pearl and some of that stuff. I mean, it's just therapy for me.
I don't
know. Just sometimes I just need to clear my head and listen to something that's just peaceful and calm. And yeah, that's a big one for me.
I knew he was going to say that because I was going to say that.
Yeah.
Brian Eno and Harold Budd, The Pearl is like an incredible ambient album.
Okay.
He showed it to me like 15 years ago or 10 years ago or something like that. And it's been pretty much constant rotation ever since, but it's like super meditative and calming, and just like, if you've never heard it and if you like ambient music, that's totally the one I'd probably start with, or one of them I'd start with. I would say if I want to like lift my spirits, I'd say Rush is one of those bands that is just like such an up band. Even if they're talking about, you know, difficult topics and stuff like that, I think that just like their music just invokes this like happiness, you know, and this epicness that's just hard to deny.
It would make some sense that the guy with like a million drums behind him would be talking about, right, Rush. So this project, Night Palm, is it safe to say it's been like a pandemic project? Like something that has been born of the pandemic, or were you guys planning it before? You know, was this something that you guys had like kind of mapped out or thought about before things went down?
I would say it's not really a pandemic project musically speaking, because some of these ideas go back a couple of years.
Okay.
I think the musical chemistry that Chris and I share is really old. It's like 20 years old.
Cause
we were in a progressive band,
Omni,
in our early 20s all the way up to our, you know, late 20s.
Omni, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the one.
I'm from Kentwood High School. I saw you guys at Fat Fest, okay?
Oh, hell yeah. That's crazy. That's right.
Shout out to Steelman.
Yeah.
He got me into
it. Oh, yeah. Steelman.
Yep. Steelman got me into Omni. I still have the first Omni CD. Yeah. What is it? Paint Color by Numbers or?
Paint by Numbers.
Paint by Numbers. Yeah. I still have that.
I remember designing with Chris the cover for that album on his Macintosh computer back in like the year 2001.
That's amazing.
Oddly enough, I found a copy of Paint by Numbers on the internet.
Oh.
And I bought it just because I just like, it was in Georgia somehow. Somehow it made it to Georgia and it was sealed. And it was either on eBay or some sort of store or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like, I have to buy this. Like, I can't not buy like, this album.
You went like $1.50 or something?
It was like $15.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. Something like
you
that.
You overpaid, but
I overpaid. But it was the experience of ordering that album and getting it in the mail and then just having it now is just, it was kind of worth the $15.
Nice. So you
album's got legs, man.
Yeah. So is that stuff available online or no?
Some of it's on Bandcamp, like I think just a couple of select tracks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We usually, you know, we were super young, you know, and we kind of had a pretty varied interpretation of what the band would be, you know. And I just, you know, certain people don't want certain things out, I guess. And we just had to kind of pick the things that we like the most and put them up for people to hear if they want to. I'm so proud of a lot of those songs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not all of it. I think it's, we were pushing pretty hard as a young independent group of, you know, late teens, early 20-year-olds, you know, so I don't know.
But so that's how you guys met. You guys met back then and you guys have that chemistry and that creative, you know, kind of partnership. So had you guys been talking about doing like a collaborative, you know, duo, musical duo for a while?
Couple years.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, we kind of brought Omni back and then some things happened and we had to kind of figure out what we wanted to do. And we started writing as a duo and it was going well. And then we involved some more people and, you know, I got super busy with touring and it wasn't really in the cards, mainly due to time and things like that and some other circumstances. And, but I've always wanted to do another, you know, really cool record, just me and Chris. Without any outside influence, just me and him, let's just work together on stuff. And just, you know, I think that we've always had a really good, well, not always, but worked into a really good way to communicate with each other.
Yeah.
And I think just whatever that third band member was or whatever, just kind of threw a wrench in the operation and kind of broke that communication down a little bit. But I think as a duo, I think you get this really pure, honest version of the musical chemistry we have because of the communication and all the time and experience we've had making music together over the decades, you know.
Was there ever a discussion to bring a vocalist in, or did you guys always want to keep it instrumental?
I think if the right person came along or something, then it would be a possibility. I don't know. I think finding the right person is the issue, though.
Fair enough.
Maybe for a track or two. I don't know if it's eventually going to be a full-on vocal band. I think the music, we like the music to kind of speak for itself, you know.
Yeah.
I think it does in a lot of ways, but you know, would never count it out to have a guest vocalist on there at some point.
The thing with
Chino from the Deftones is like listening and wants to collaborate.
Chino.
Well, I was reading the Rolling Stone article about the new Ohm's Deftones album, which is an awesome album, by the way. And he recorded up in what, like Woodinville with Terry Date. So in the middle. Woodinville. Yeah. Up in.
I like live almost in Woodinville. That's super funny.
So I guess Terry Date lives up there now and has a recording studio. And so in the beginning of the pandemic, when everyone was super hyper freaked out about it and like didn't think you could interact with anyone, Chino was living in a trailer in Woodinville outside of Terry Date's house. So, wow. You know, maybe you could have gone to Trader Joe's and ran into him and get him to. So random.
We recorded up in Bothell at Pat's studio, which is like kind of on the Woodinville sort of border, which is really funny.
Right. But yeah, he lives in Portland now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So now we can all stalk him.
Okay. Maybe I'll start stalking Terry Date and be like, get him to mix a record for free or something.
Oh, all right. Yeah, sounds good, man. You guys do have a couple songs, Doomsday and Dutch Courage. Is there an album on the way, or are you guys just releasing single by single? What's the story, if you are able to share it?
We have an album on the way for sure. We have a bunch of songs done, ready to be released.
Yeah.
But we might add more. So we're kind of figuring that out. And we want to kind of stage this release. So, you know, because of the move and all that stuff, we want to be able to have a presence, right? And like, kind of the current thing to do is to release a couple singles. And we've released a video for Doomsday. And then maybe we have another single coming out, which is like a 1-minute, 15-second ambient piece.
Cool.
And we're going to try to pitch that to a couple of places just to get on some playlists and stuff. See if we can get it out there to people. And then we might release one more single and then drop the record. We'll see. We're kind of hanging on to it and playing our cards right. And we're starting from scratch, right, with this band. So we're trying to create a little bit of awareness before we drop a record, so it's not like a fart in the wind when you drop the record. You know what I mean?
There's been a lot of amazing albums this year. I mean, I could count. I've just been trying to keep track of making playlists just so that I don't lose track in my head of these albums. And it's just like, it's hard to remember because they kind of just come out. And because you can't tour on them, you kind of really got to remember. Yeah. So you got to force yourself to remember. All right, guys. So let's go into a song here. We're going into the song Doomsday. And this was the first single, right?
First single we released, yep.
Right on, guys. All right, we're going to go into it. And again, we're talking with Night Palm. It's Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions.
Yeah.
So we're talking with Night Palm here on Loud and Local. That was a song called Doomsday, the first single by Night Palm. Where can people find this song?
Pretty much everywhere. Bandcamp, Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, Deezer, all over the place. YouTube.
Awesome.
It should be pretty easy to find if you just type in Night Palm Doomsday.
It's easy these days to be able to track down local artists and support them. That's an awesome thing about, you know, 2020. There's a lot of crap things about 2020, but one cool thing is it's pretty easy to find music. You guys are an interesting group in the sense that it's very ambient, it's very post-rock, it's very synth wave. How do you classify it, and what were your influences going in, I guess, and what kind of thing were you guys reaching for?
I don't think we really thought about classifying it too much specifically when we were writing, but I know for myself, I wanted to write something that was heavy yet melodic.
Yeah.
And bringing the kind of analog synth vibes in there, which I think are a cool texture with the more rock sort of sounds and whatnot. And blending with the, I played a bass six, which is like a hybrid of a bass and a guitar. The synth just kind of set pretty nicely with those sounds and just kind of went with it.
So is that all the instruments? It's a bass, synth, and drums. Is that all the layers, or is there anything added on top of that?
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Nice.
There's little touches of things like guitar and electric bass and stuff like that. But yeah, it's mostly lots of different synth sounds. And it's funny with the drums. I think we used a different drum kit on every single song that has drums on it.
Why is that?
Different tools for different jobs, I guess. You know, the first song, Doomsday's, got a little bit more of a kind of a hi-fi sort of vibe, live vibe. And then Dutch Courage is like a bunch of big drums that were like heavily muffled and processed, you know, to give it that kind of almost like 70s, but super compressed kind of modern sound,
yeah,
et cetera. You know, each song is kind of a different like audio space you go to.
It's just fun to get experimental with sounds and try different things and see how different tones sort of fit different songs.
Yeah.
Nice. So Will, specifically you, you're involved in quite a few projects, obviously Walking Papers, 10 Miles Wide, and then now with Night Palm. Is it hard for you to, piece out time for each project? And then also, do you ever find yourself like the kind of ideas like melding together and you have to like differentiate like what goes with what band?
I'd say creatively, as far as, does it get too busy like right now during COVID? Absolutely not.
No one's touring.
In fact, I'm finding things to do to try to keep myself from going crazy in between all the band stuff, you know. When I'm working though, and I'm doing two bands, three bands, that it gets to be like way too much, you know, too quickly. As far as things melding together, I think the beauty of the three bands is that they're all pretty different from one another.
Very true.
And there's things I do in Night Palm that I don't do in 10 Miles Wide, and Walking Papers is like so different, you know, drum wise, like a lot more stripped down and for the song, you know, and 10 Miles Wide is a lot more aggressive.
Yeah.
And Night Palm to me is more kind of like, I get to paint, you know, a little bit more freely and not have to be kind of a songwriting drummer like I am in Walking Papers, you know, and not have to fill a role like I do in 10 Miles Wide. Like, I feel like I can really be myself in Night Palm, which is one of the things I love about it.
Nice. Right on. I like that. So I guess I kind of want to jump into the other song here, Dutch Courage, but you were mentioning that there's another thing that you guys might be dropping soon. Is there a timetable as to when we can expect to hear another thing from Night Palm?
A short ambient track will be dropping late October.
Awesome. Right on. Well, I am going to ask you guys a very personal question. Pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got it. Chris, let's start with you.
Oh, well, let's see. I have, well, I have scars from, unfortunately, I had to have a kidney transplant, so.
Oh, wow.
I have scars from that. It's kind of serious moment.
For real?
Yeah, that's probably my biggest scar that I have.
Okay, well, I'm glad that you're, were able to get that kidney transplant to get the donor. That's great.
Yeah, totally. And it's from the music scene, unbelievably, a friend from another band, so.
Can you shout out the band?
Well, it's a band that no longer exists, Future Fossils.
Oh, yeah. Yep. That's amazing. Were you on dialysis for a while then?
I was, yeah. I don't recommend it.
Yeah, I had a good friend that was on that for quite a while. I definitely, it was a pretty rough patch. But that's awesome that you're healthy now, and that's great.
Very fortunate.
Sure.
Will, how about you, man? Any kidney transplants in your past?
No, but I do have a scar in my arm from when I was with my friends walking around at night. I think it was probably 10th grade, and we were all hanging out together.
Yeah.
And we were wasted. I think it was my birthday. And I asked my friend to burn me on the arm with a cigarette for as long as I could take it.
So edgy.
Yeah, so edgy, right? Edgy, dumb, drunk high schooler, right?
Yeah.
And I think it was on there for like 10 seconds or something like that.
Holy crap.
And it like bubbled up and, you know.
Ugh.
I was like, I'm never going to forget this moment. I'll always have the scar to remind me of the stupid thing I did when I was in 10th grade. You know what I mean? One of those things. So it's still there. It's kind of faded, but it's like it's turned into this weird like white spot in my arm. So.
Such a punk. Such a rebel. Hell metal.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I wouldn't suggest that either, probably. I mean, I don't know. I've never gone through it. Would you suggest that, Will?
No, not really. I mean, I won't ever forget it. So if you want to remember being with your friends, having a good time, drunk when you're young and stupid, then yeah, I would recommend it. But it's not worth it.
Okay.
Maybe it was.
Who knows? Yeah,
because this little thing, you know, who cares, it's right? Story
that you were able to tell now, so
there we go. It was worth it.
So
5 years later,
I would suggest. Do you guys have social media like Facebook? Is there a Night Palm Facebook that people can follow you along with?
We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We pretty much stick to those two.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right on. So add Night Palm and follow along with them as they're going to be releasing this this project, more music. I'm stoked to have you guys on. I like that it adds a little bit of spice. It's not your average, you know, four on the floor rock band. It is a little bit different. I like that. So we got to add some spice to the local music scene and kind of mix things up and slow things down a little bit with your guys' vibe, which is cool.
Thanks for giving us the time to be on here and giving us a chance, man. I know we make some strange sounds, but you know, it's nice when we get a little bit of love. So thank you again.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Any final words for the Northwest Loudoun local community, who's probably stuck inside dealing with COVID?
Keep creating, create art. Absolutely. It's a good time for it.
Absolutely.
I second that.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Here's the song Dutch Courage. What is that? What's Dutch Courage?
It's what they used to give soldiers on the battlefield before they had to fight. They'd get them kind of wasted a little bit.
Oh.
So they feel like they could go take on some horde of horrible people that were about to chop them up or something. So.
All right. Let's get some Dutch Courage.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In-app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.